Have you heard or read about the big Logic Pro 10.5 update? I have a question, Linus from Linus Tech Tips. Here we go. Arthur Ashe said, "Success is the journey, not the destination." When I apply this to music and creativity, 2 weeks ago you were interested to know how I found Ableton Live compared to Bitwig Studio. Hey guys, welcome to the Kane Audio Vlog. It is Friday. It's time for another Ask Me Anything. Usual rules apply. Comment anything you want below this video and I'll get back to you in next week's video. Before I look at last week's video, is there any house admin? I don't think there is any at all this week. What have I been doing? I have been mostly digging a ditch. Yeah, it's finally time to start making some moves for building the garden studio. I will do a separate video series on that. I've already sort of filmed a few time-lapsey bits, but nothing spectacular. At the moment, a lot of it is pretty mundane stuff that's just specific to me and my situation. So, for example, we had two garden sheds. One at the top of the garden, one at the bottom of the garden, slightly different sizes, connected to fence posts and gates and things like that. And everything needed swapping out and getting rid of from one and then moving one shed to the other position and then getting rid of the other one and blah, 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 blah. It goes on. So there's not anything huge in terms of update, but I am definitely making progress and hopefully we will start seeing some videos on that soon. Let's have a look. Kane Audio merch, no new updates. Spotify playlist, I haven't updated this week. It will be probably next week. And there we go. I think that's it. 5302 is still, everything's in the plan. But as any long-term followers know, 5302 is going to launch in September, so we've got loads of time for that. So there we go. Bit of a shit house admin, sorry. Right, looking at last week's video, which was Ask Me Anything 103. Starting at the top. Barely awake. Hey Dom, insert lame attempt at working stupid into the greeting. Well, high five. Hope all is well. It is, thank you. Have you heard or read about the big Logic Pro 10.5 update that dropped this week? I have. I've not tried it. I'm not a Logic user. But from what I see, it's basically Ableton. So fair enough. 15 years too late, but sure. Including a clip launcher, amongst other things. And if so, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it. I was wondering if there might be any long-term implications now that we know that Apple is implementing more looping and live features into Logic, something that so far was a strong suite of doors like Live and Bitwig. Especially now that Apple has shown they are still invested in Logic, are listening to their users, and keep giving out free updates for around 7 years now. I think you've brought up some really valid points there, to be honest. As much as I don't use Logic and I don't like Logic, I wouldn't say I dislike it, but I've never really been a fan. There are some things that it does when it comes to writing music for picture that hands down is better than most other workstations. But in terms of actually producing or writing music, I always found it was just too many button clicks or just too fiddly or it just never really felt particularly intuitive. And then especially when you think of things like clip launchers and stuff that Ableton had for, I mean, at least 15, nearly 20 years? That can't be right. I guess it is. at least 15 years, Ableton has had the Clip Launcher, and everybody thought, what a radical idea. This is brilliant. Why doesn't everyone do it? And it's good that Logic are now finally catching up with stuff like that. As a mix engineer, I sincerely hope that they have sorted out the ability to export stems. The number of clients I have that use Logic and they send me stems and I go back to them saying, this could have done with some reverb on, and they've gone, there was reverb on it. Why isn't the reverb printed? And it's some sort of Logic weirdness that does it, and it, especially with groups. And then don't get me started on the way file names are named within Logic when it comes to exporting stems. So there was a lot of reasons that Logic was not my favourite. I love Bitwig, so I'm not even concerned about looking elsewhere, to be honest. I think the most important part you've brought up is the long-term implications with Apple offering more looping functions. I think that's a really valid point, to be fair. And I honestly don't know how it's going to impact the future. But what I do know is that, much like with video editing, where a lot of Apple users maybe buy an Apple laptop and you get Apple Movie, iMovie. Yeah, iMovie is built in, or was, I assume it still is. And then people would progress onto Final Cut Pro. Similarly, people would use GarageBand because it's free built into their laptop, and then they'd move on to Logic. So I think it's good that Apple are offering these things. And I think with things like live looping functionality, that should hopefully appeal to real musicians who are able to perform live using Logic. So it'd be interesting to see how that comes into play. Hopefully it has a good positive impact. Nothing will change probably, but considering Apple's bottomless pockets, they could probably buy every single DAW developer and still have some money left over to acquire a small island nation somewhere. And probably, I think... I won't say the figure. I'm sure it was in the trillions, but it wasn't. It couldn't have been, because they're only just a trillion pound dollar company. I can't remember what the figure was, but they have basically enough cash to buy all the gold in China or something like that. I was just thinking about how the music production market could change if Apple decided to really lean into borrowing killer features from other DAWs and giving them out as free updates. Maybe because I still use Live a lot, and now that Logic has one of the unique features of Live, I'm wondering if Ableton might pick up the pace at some point. 10.1 is now almost a year old. Yeah, I think there's two issues in there as well. So, first of all, I don't think Apple would ever be able to take over the workstation thing necessarily, because I think a lot of the old timers are still stuck on Pro Tools and getting ripped off by Avid on a regular basis. And I think most modern producers are kind of pushing for Live and Bitwig and whatever because of those features. I think Apple doing those features, I think they're convenient, but I think also there's a lot of PC users out there, and this is the big thing that will stop, that will act as an obstacle for Apple, because I can't imagine them ever releasing a Windows version of Logic. If they did that, then we're talking potential game changers, because even viewers of this channel, I would say, from what I've read in comments, I'd say probably 10, 15, maybe 20% are PC Windows users or Linux. So there's a lot of reasons. One of the reasons I don't and refuse to use Logic is because it's Mac only, and even though I only have Macs, I don't want to be in a position where I can't use something just because I changed my computer. To me, that doesn't make sense. That's like buying a pair of headphones and then no longer being able to use those headphones because you've changed your CD player, and That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't want to be stuck in that. So there we go. As for Ableton, and this is the separate issue, I think, that maybe is coincidental, Ableton have definitely slowed right down. I don't know what the reasons for that are. I would be inclined to say that every dev in the world would agree that no software is ever truly finished. So I don't think the devs want to be slowing down. I'm going to guess at some sort of internal struggle within Ableton, maybe. I don't know whether that's financial or political or who knows. But there's definitely something happening that, I mean, the version 9 to version 10, I mean, how long was that gap? I'm fairly sure I got version 9. When was it? Was it 6 years ago? Something like that? So, you know, there was a huge gap between those. But I have said on previous videos as well, as far as I'm aware, Ableton had to rebuild version 10 from the ground up. So I would imagine 10 to 10.1 was probably a bit of a struggle because they were, at a guess, I would assume, and I think it's perfectly natural to be the case, that there were probably loads of bugs and errors and weird little things happening in version 10 because they'd built it from the ground up. You're going to have a whole new bunch of bugs that need fixing. So I would imagine 10 to 10.1 was going to be slow no matter what the politics were around it. So I would say for any Ableton users out there, I would expect Live to start getting more regular updates, well, anytime soon, really. It should, I would have thought. I would have thought the devs for the last 7 years have spent all of their time focusing on version 10 and then fixing version 10, and hopefully they've nailed most of that. So I think it's going to be interesting. I definitely think Logic is maybe back in the game a bit now, because I know when Logic 10 came out, everybody thought that was a bit of a game changer, whereas really it was just kind of catching up with some of the other workstations. And again, now you've got 10.5. Let's be honest, it's just catching up with other workstations. That's not to take anything away from Logic, but Apple in general are sort of famous for watching other people create features and learn lessons from that and then just use that and go ahead. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes. Have a great weekend and week, you too. Bill Carroll. I just can't bring myself to make a stupid comment. High five. Seriously though, thanks for the continued content, and I'm starting to like the Bitwig reverb. Good. I can see Kavakay has replied, thumbs up for the Bitwig reverb comment. I love it, mainly because I can put ridiculous things like bit reduced delays inside the tank slot, or create a reverb within 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 a reverb. I think that's delay, isn't it? I'm a huge fan of Bitwig everything, to be honest, and I think this comes off the back of my comment at the end of the video last week. I said something about me only using sort of built-in reverbs, delays and whatever, and especially so with Bitwig now we've got the grid, which, by the way guys, I keep meaning to do a video for the grid. I haven't even had time to really explore it myself. I've built a couple of crap things just experimenting, but yeah, I honestly haven't really had time to get deep into the grid. And also, I kind of feel like this YouTube channel's maybe not so well catered for straight up tutorial type stuff. Mostly because there are other guys on the internet who do a way better job than I ever could with stuff like that. So I kind of feel like I'll leave it to them. But I do plan on doing some more videos on Bitwig for this channel, and also once the new studio is built, I'm hoping to at some point get a couple of different cameras and do some live streaming, because I feel like I've never really done live streaming, and I want to give it a go. Moving on, James Highton. Hi, Dom. Been a while, mate, but have been hanging in the background. Good to know. Looking forward to seeing the new studio. Happy to advise on construction, as mentioned before. I do remember you mentioning that before, but you sound like you've done enough research. All the best, bud, and hope the family's well. Unknown artist. High five. Cheers. It's kind of a tricky one, but I'm going for kind of mostly off the shelf stuff, so I've not really needed any advice at this point. I think the hardest part for me is the fact that my garden is on a slope. Not a radical slope, but definitely not a slope you would want to just put a floor on. And I think that's been the biggest obstacle so far, because the top of the slope is the boundary line, and therefore retaining walls to big concrete slabs that hold fences up and whatever. So it's not as easy as just being able to dig straight down and then away we go. Also, I'm only using, if you imagine looking vertically up the garden, I'm only using the right half of the garden. So again, it's just that sort of tying everything in is the tricky bit. So the plan right now is to basically put down some flags at the lower section, vertically sunk into the ground, to act as some sort of a retaining wall, and then to dig some of the back and just bring it to the front. The slope probably only drops 6-10 inches, something like that. It's not a huge drop. So I don't think I need massive retaining walls or anything super strengthened. But I'm going to drop in some steel bars, I think, to hold the flags in position. So it should be all right, hopefully. We'll find out in 6 months when my studio floats away. Techolite Music. Hi there, Dom. Hope you're doing well. No questions for this week. We'll edit if something comes to mind. Just want to say hello and thanks for this AMA series, which is really not stupid. High five. As for other news, well, you've got a new patron now, I believe. I do, and thank you very much for that. Cheers, and take care. Thanks to anyone who does subscribe to the Patreon account, especially as I feel like I'm not really offering enough in return for Patreon, but it was kind of an experiment, and I want to go places with it, but I feel like I should be offering more with it, but thank you to anyone who does subscribe. Not Your Human. Love the video, Dom. I have a question. Linus from Linus Tech Tips. Uh-oh, here we go. Made a video on Linux VM machines, basically running macOS as a virtual machine and then doing a GPU pass-through. Apparently, this way there are no hardware requirements for macOS, so you can run the OS with NVIDIA GPU and AMD CPU. It's quite the hassle to set it, and I don't know how it's going to do over a longer period of time. I just thought you might find it interesting. Also, my English sucks. Your English does not suck, I can assure you of that. I did watch that Linus Tech Tips video, actually. I'm a casual subscriber to Linus Tech Tips. I find a lot of his videos, for me, are just out of my depth. They're just, as in, you know, we spent $50,000 on trying to water cool a GPU that doesn't need water cooling or something to be able to get one pass per second faster. And I just felt like it was... there's a lot of overkill on there, which I get is the point of the channel, I think. It's kind of the fun side of being a nerd. But for me, it's just not stuff I can use every day. So I just, I'm a casual subscriber. But I did happen to watch that because the whole Hackintosh thing interests me. And I felt like setting it up looked like it was an absolute nightmare. And then once you've set it up, the updates seemed to go ahead, but it was all still very questionable, and I felt like if anything was to fail, i.e. your main hard drive or whatever, backups were somewhat unavailable unless you had some auto-cloning going on in the background, because you're looking at sub-OS level code to get the Hackintosh to work. So you'd need sub-OS level code or base level code to be able to create backups, and that kind of made me think, well, you know, we all upgrade bits every now and then, and it just felt like there was a huge potential of it just going horribly wrong and then becoming potentially unusable because the virtual machine may not recognize the host. And yeah, so I felt like long term it was just too risky. It did look good, but like I say, it was, and it was probably worth the hassle if you're doing it as a fun project. I think that's fine. But I think if you're going to be writing music and you're going to be relying, for someone like me especially, and let's not forget, originally this Hackintosh idea stemmed from me not having this iMac, and my old Mac Pro tower was really starting to fail. So I wanted to be able to make a Hackintosh that meant I didn't need to spend a fortune on something like an iMac. However, it failed sooner than I'd anticipated, and so I ended up getting this second-hand iMac, which is actually more than capable for everything I needed. However, I still wanted to carry on with the Hackintosh just out of interest, and off the back of that, I'm kind of thinking what I'll probably do is give away the Hackintosh or something for one of the Patreon subscribers. So I haven't finalized any details there. I don't really know, but I might bring in YouTube as well. But right now the Hackintosh videos will be exclusive to Patreon subscribers. So I kind of figured it makes sense to give away the Hackintosh to one of the subscribers. So based on that, I kind of felt like the Linus Tech Tips route was a bit risky, because if I end up giving away the Hackintosh, then whoever gets it might not have the faintest idea of how to set up that Hackintosh using VM stuff, and in which case it all becomes a bit of a nightmare when something goes wrong or if a hard drive fails or whatever. So, which is kind of the case with any Hackintosh, if I'm honest, and that's always the risk factor you've got to consider. But yeah, I kind of felt like it needs to be an easier route to setting up, basically. So there we go. FanFan87, salut Dom, salut. Stupid, high five. Hoping I'm not too late for the weekly question. No, you're not. This is a question I wanted to ask for a long time, and it's a touchy one, but I ask it for the challenge. Arthur Ashe said, success is the journey, not the destination. When I apply this to music and creativity, that makes me think about producers deciding to use pre-made samples and pre-made presets instead of doing sound design, creating their own signature, or grab a recorder and sample their own environment. I know a good sound is a good sound, but what's your opinion about that? Do you feel different when you use sound you personally made or record? Thanks. Have a great coffee and weekend. Cheers. The coffee is very much needed right now, by the way. It's quite early in the morning still. Anyway. So, how do I feel about that? I honestly, I do go with a good sound is a good sound. I feel like we have to be careful with the attitude of why not do it yourself, because while that's mostly true, I think we also need to be careful that, well, if that's the case, then, you know, why the whole question of, well, why use samples? Why not make it yourself? And then, well, if that's the case, then why use a sequencer? Why not make your own? Why use a computer? Why not make your own? You know, why use a synthesizer? Why not make your own? For some people, that's not the fun part of making music. The fun part of making music for lots of people, I'm going to say probably most people, the fun part is listening to it at the end. It's the pride you have of something sounding good. So I think, you know, things are creative at every level. You can be creative with just compressors. I think mix engineers can be incredibly creative, and yet they don't write a single note of music. And then maybe look at the flip side of that, the opposite end of the spectrum. A violinist in an orchestra doesn't do any sound design. They don't do any compression techniques. They don't have mid-side recording knowledge. They just play a violin. There's only one sound to that violin. They can't change the sound of that violin. And yet they're still very much in demand. And are you going to call a London Symphony Orchestra violinist not creative? So I think we have to look at it from every possible angle. And I think when it comes to using samples or presets, it's not necessarily the fact that you're using samples or presets. It's more what you do with those samples and presets. There was one very famous track in particular around 2012, I won't name names, Steve Angello, who he made a track that was basically just a sample. It was basically just one loop from a loops pack looped, and that was basically it. That was the whole track. I think he probably added like a kick drum, and I think there was maybe one or two additional elements in there somewhere. But it was basically a track, and he was already a good producer, a very famous producer and DJ. So he didn't need to do that. And I know it caused a huge uproar in the industry, and everybody sort of went, oh, it's cheating. And I kind of felt like, well, okay, it's not a good demonstration of his talent. It's not a good demonstration of his skill. It's probably not a good demonstration of maybe his mental attitude to the industry or to the profession. Although I'm sure he just didn't consider that aspect. But at the end of the day, it was a good track and it was a great loop. And it served a purpose, and it did what it was supposed to do. And I kind of felt like, well, I didn't do it. You didn't do it. We didn't have the insight to make that track out of that loop. So, and he did. So, you know, it's like when people have asked me how I feel about loops of mine being used in commercial hits, and I know I've heard several songs that have been top 40 UK. I remember one of my old flatmates many years ago worked with me on a sample pack, and about 6 months later he came bursting into the studio going, listen to this, and it was a very well-known act in the UK charts, and they'd done similar with our loop basically, and they'd written this huge track, and I sort of felt like, you know, he felt a bit dismayed by it because he felt like he'd been cheated somehow, or, you know, why don't we get any credit for that, whereas actually we were only able to make the loop, we weren't able to make that top 40 hit, so, you know, that's on someone else. So I do think success is the journey and not the destination. But when you're talking about making music, the finished piece of music is not necessarily the destination. Sometimes that's just a part of the journey. For a lot of people, that's just part of the journey. And I guess that's kind of the critical angle on that whole philosophy is where do you consider the journey to end and the destination to begin? For a lot of people, you know, the mix down stage or the mastering stage is kind of the end destination. You've written that piece of music, that's it, done. But there's still a whole load of other stuff that has to go on ahead with that. A lot of people get even more creative after that point, where they might be getting creative with promotional tactics or marketing campaigns or whatever happens to that track. You know, they might push it to ad agencies or to TV and film companies or to radio stations, or they might be giving it away, or they might be donating all the profits to charity, or you know, it might be a small part of a very big campaign, in which case, and the camera reset, I didn't even look then, but in which case the making of the music is really just a small part of a very long journey. So I think I was going to say, without trying to get too philosophical, but I think we've already got quite philosophical there. Success is the journey, not the destination. I guess you then need to re-establish and clarify what is your journey and what is the destination. And the destination is key to all of that. So how do I feel about people who make or use pre-made samples and pre-made presets? I honestly think that's absolutely fine if that's what they want to do, because I feel like being creative is important, but where you are creative is up to you. So long as you're creative in one way or another, I don't care if you're not very creative with presets, but you're really creative with maybe musical notes. Fine, not a problem. You've done something creative. You could use only presets from only one synthesizer. But if you make a great funk track, then you've been creative with that synth. So there's no problem for me. You know, and equally so, like I touched on with mix engineers, you know, they're not writing any notation, they're not doing any arrangements, but they're still being creative. They're being creative with compressors or equalizers or you know, shaving elements away or bringing in additional effects or additional layers. You know, there's a lot of creativity that goes into a mix down, even though it's very technical. You've got to be creative with the tools to get the job done. Equally so with a mastering engineer, and then equally so with A&R and label stuff, and we go on and on, further and further down the chain. I think for me personally, I enjoy sound design. I enjoy using sounds that are maybe somewhat slightly different to others. But also, I've touched on in almost every tutorial I've ever had, a lot of stuff I do is presets. Because, you know, if it's a square wave pluck sound, which is pretty common in a lot of my music historically, you know, why should I dial up a new synth and a new oscillator and a new square wave on a new ADSR envelope every time I make that sound, when I know full well there is a preset that sounds like that in every subtractive synth that ever got made, basically. So I don't feel the need to reinvent the wheel every time I make a song. And also, some presets just sound great. So that's where I'm at. Mitch Brown, cheers Dom, stupid, high five. Kavake, oops, didn't know where last week went. I thought I'd left a comment on the previous AMA, but apparently not. Oh, stupid, high five. I did watch it though. Your AMA and Christine Henson's Nerding for the Weekend are definitely the highlights of my week, especially during lockdown. Brackets, if we're still in lockdown by the time you read this. We are still very much in lockdown. Although, now I'm in England and not Wales, we're in slightly less of a lockdown. But it's anyone's guess of how much of a lockdown it is, because it's all very, very vague. Personally, I think it's a bit early to lift the restrictions yet here in the UK, but what do I know? You know about as much as me then, because I agree. 2 weeks ago, you were interested to know how I found Ableton Live compared to Bitwig Studio. After taking part in Ableton's Loop at Home weekend challenges, initially I had commented that it made me miss Bitwig, but as the weekend went on, I found I slipped into my old Ableton workflow, and in the end, I really enjoyed using Live again. Good, I'm glad. I think that's an important point to touch on for everyone as well, because this is one of the things when people talk about comparing workstations, I think you kind of need to truly compare workstations. You need to have either never used any of them, or you need to be extremely competent in all of them. Otherwise, comparisons just don't really truly work, because it's the vast majority of it is about workflow. And I know I struggled moving from Ableton into Bitwig because I was just used to having certain buttons available to me. I couldn't even tell you what buttons they are now, but there was something that kind of didn't... I'd lost a button, a shortcut key somewhere, and I kept going to press it, and it wasn't doing what I wanted it to do. Also, just the on Bitwig, you have to have caps lock on to be able to use your QWERTY keyboard as a musical keyboard, whereas in Ableton you didn't need to do that. The reason for that is because in Bitwig by default, if you start typing on your QWERTY, it'll be in the browser. So you needed caps lock to not be highlighting the browser, which made perfect sense, but it just wasn't something that came to me naturally because I'd never had to have that shortcut before. So I think workflow is hugely important, and you know, if you're chopping and changing between a door and just trying something out, I've always said it takes me 6 months minimum to move workstation from one to another, and the reason for that is because it takes me 6 months to get the muscle memory in my hands and fingers to be able to just get all the shortcut keys and everything learnt. So yeah, there we go. I don't know what I'm saying there. 2 weeks ago, blah, blah, blah. In the end, I really enjoyed using Live again. I am glad I upgraded to 10.1, though, as it has some great new features and runs better on my laptop than Live 9 did. Strangely, it also seemed to run more efficiently than Bitwig, which appears to have become a bit of a CPU hog of late. I do feel like there's room for Bitwig and Ableton in my workflow, as each has its strengths, but Bitwig will probably stay as my primary door. Anyway, I don't have a question as such, more a request for ideas from you and the Kane Audio community with reference to the Loop at Home challenges. I've been trying to work out how to set up some kind of weekly challenge in the style of Ableton Loop's daily challenge, but struggling to find a platform to run it on. Obviously, Metapop would be ideal, but they only seem to deal with big names, and so far I haven't found any way to set up a comp/challenge for yourself. All I really need is some way for people to discuss the challenge and submit their tracks to the group, comment on each other's work, etc. Do you have any ideas? If anyone follows your AMAs has any suggestions, I'd love to hear from them. Cheers. P.S. Studio Build Challenge video series is an excellent idea. Maybe it should be for Patreon subscribers, he says, after only just signing up. Potentially, I was thinking with the studio thing, I'll probably put them on Patreon first and then open them up to YouTube. It all depends on... I think the timing of these things is going to be a bit weird, because I'm going to guess that at some stage these AMAs will just be in the new studio, and I don't know if I'll have even released the building of the studio by then, because it's going to take a while to get the videos done right, because I don't want them to be, this week I hammered in this nail. You know, I'd like them to be as informative as possible and almost tutorially to a point. So we'll see how they are. As for the Ableton Loop Daily Challenge, I don't even know what the Loop at Home Challenge thing is, so I'm probably not much help. But in terms of request for ideas from the Kane Audio community, by all means, people watching this video right now, comment below to Kavake, or Cavaquet, head over to the Kane Audio Music Producers group on Facebook. There'll be a link below. And yeah, take it from there, because that might be a bit better for people to actually have conversations and whatever, and you can PM each other and whatever. I can see you've also got a couple of replies there as well, so that's good. Someone suggesting to have a look at blend.io. You also mentioned Metapop. I have no idea what Metapop is. Now I'm starting to feel really old. I don't know what half of these things are. But yeah, whatever the case, good luck with it. I'm sure you'll get there in the end. I think, my friends, that is it. If you have made it this far into the video, then comment the word... I'm gonna say comment the word, man, I have some really random videos showing up this week. I'm gonna say comment the word together. Again, there's a random video here saying together at home closure concert. Some elementary school, apparently, which is a little odd for me to have recommended. I assume it's coronavirus related or something. Yeah, but there we go. So comment the word concert. No, did I say concert or together? I can't remember now. My God. I'll have a listen when I watch this video back. Whatever the case, have a good weekend. Have a good week. Don't lose your mind like I clearly am. And I'll see you this time next week. Cheers.